thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, the Urban Sports Scene. We're back in the building. You're listening to Wally, myself, Wally, Will T, my man Ray Jeezy, who's usually here with us, part of the Urban Sports Scene. He's out, not feeling too well, but he'll be back next week, hopefully. But yeah, you listen to Urban Sports Scene, like I said earlier. And Will T, what's good, my man?
Oh, I'm
good, man. I'm blessed. It's been a Super Bowl. It was Super Bowl Sunday. It was great. A lot of alcohol, man. A lot of alcohol. Oh, I have you. I'm sorry. Dang, now we'll tease up. Okay. That's my bad.
You had a lot of alcohol going on?
I had a lot of alcohol going on.
Oh, man. That's what's up.
Yeah, it was the dream, man.
The big question is, how did you feel the next day?
Oh, I ain't go to work. So you know how that means. You know how that is. No work. Took a day off.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that hangover. I had it planned out.
I had it all mapped out.
I thought about it, you know, that I was at work. I was at work that Wednesday. And I was like, I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to my homie's house. I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to drink a lot. The game's going to end around, what, 10? Like 10 o'clock or something like that?
The game ended at 10. Yeah, I think, yeah. Well, I was at home mm-hmm. when the game, just before it ended.
Okay. So you got home when it ended?
Yeah, I was home. I had already left. Like once it,
mm-hmm.
once you know, the outcome was pretty much determined with like five.
Oh yeah, because you
mm-hmm. after Carolina punted.
Okay,
I just decided to go home from where I was.
Yeah, I stayed throughout. I stayed throughout where I was. I stayed to the end of the game because again, it was more. It was free alcohol, man. You can't beat that. And you can't, man.
So 17, just like a ninja.
You know, it's 17:38. Heck, some Crown Apple. So, it, like, everybody brought a bottle. You know what I mean? So,
right.
It wasn't, like, totally
free. Crown Apple? Never had
it. It's good. It really is good. I mixed Crown Apple with, this is some alcoholic stuff. So, I mixed the Crown Apple with, green Ciroc. Or with green apple Ciroc. Because is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's called green apple Ciroc?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. I mixed it. So it was dark and white. It's bomb. It was bomb, man. Yeah, it was on cloud nine.
Brother.
I felt so good, man. You know, because you know when you're intoxicated, you have you lose all your ambitions. I thought about going to the strip club. It was real. I did. I was like contemplating: should I go to the strip club or not?
Mm-hmm.
That was in my mindset. It was like, should I go to the strip club? Then it was like, nah. I got home, just went to sleep, you know, and lived another day. We didn't even talk about the game. It was a good game. Peyton Manning legacy, great thing for Peyton Manning. Can go out with a bang.
Who says he's going out?
Well, we'll discuss that. Anyway, man, Will T, let's do it.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, man, like Will T, we just mentioned Super Bowl. We're going to recap Super Bowl 50, the Broncos defeating the Carolina Panthers 24-10. Cam Newton's press conference, you know, he got a lot of bad flack about it. We'll talk about that. Peyton Manning's legacy, if he retires. Amir Khan's taking on Canelo Alvarez May 7th. We're going to discuss that as well. And finally, Derek Fisher fired by the New York Knicks. Karma's a B. You know what I'm talking about?
Man. All right, man. I'm not gonna even comment.
Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. What's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim. That was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Von Miller just so fast that they don't have the answer.
And the Panthers have a 3rd and 10. Here comes pressure, and they've gotten to him. The ball is out in the end zone, and it's recovered by Malik Jackson for the touchdown. It was Von Miller with the strip sack, and Jackson with the recovery. A meeting here of the first and second picks of the 2011 draft. Newton first, Miller second. 2nd and 9. Set it up for Philly Brown. They've won 11 games by 7 points or less, an all-time record. 2nd and 11. And Cam loads it up, and he's got the completion. Nope. Incomplete.
Out and up. Watch it. How about that? Von Miller, the pass rusher, taking a wide receiver down the field.
Here comes the pressure. Nowhere to go. And Newton's down at the 22. Wolf and Miller both get to the quarterback. It's a 3rd and 9. Rushing 4. Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground and still on the ground. Picked up by T.J. Ward at the 4-yard line. Von Miller did it again.
That boy, Von Miller, is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That audio was courtesy of the NFL and CBS. Obviously, you heard Jim Nantz and Phil Simms do the game of the Super Bowl 50. But yeah, Von Miller was flat out a dog. 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, Super Bowl MVP. He's going to make himself a lot of money.
Absolutely, man. He's a free agent. You're going to probably push come to shove. You're going to end up franchising him. When he's been healthy and been able to be on the field, he's a difference maker. We all know that he had his problems with the suspension early on in his career, some injuries, but he's rebounded and he's shown to be a force to be probably the number one playmaker on that Denver defense, which is a lot of people consider the best defense in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, it looked like in the Super Bowl. Again, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, my boy Will T, and Ray, who's not here, but he's part of the family. So we're going to always mention Ray and anybody who's missing is part of his family. And you can call in. The phone line is open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. What's up, West Coast? All right, to the game. You mentioned the dominance of Von Miller. Was this game won by the Denver Broncos defense or lost by Carolina's offense playing the worst game of the season?
Denver's defense, man. Definitely Denver's defense. Anytime you're able to get as much pressure as they did, I think they had a Super Bowl record, 7 sacks, 4 turnovers. It's clearly just a defensive performance for the ages. You know, a lot of people came in saying that, you know, you had the number one scoring offense in Carolina. How would they hold up against Denver's defense? And I told people all along, the only one threat that Carolina has from a receiving standpoint is Greg Olsen. And you can put T.J. Ward on him and neutralize him. Then after that, you can put a spy to keep Cam Newton in the pocket. Uh-huh. And Teddy Ginn Jr. and Philly Brown and Devin Funchess, we discussed that last week. They aren't scaring anyone.
Yeah.
You know, they're reliable 3, 4, and 5 receivers on a depth chart. But you need to get, you know, without Calvin Benjamin, Cam didn't have a number one receiving target.
Calvin Benjamin,
you know, on the outside. Not that it would have made a difference this past Sunday, but, you know, I don't want to hear people talk about how Cam Newton blew the game for Carolina. No, Denver's defense was just that good.
No, I agree with you. And you saw what they did with Greg Olsen. I'm glad you mentioned that. You put T.J. Ward on him. Also, you saw Talib on Greg Olsen at times. So they definitely took Greg Olsen. Okay, we're going to take away your best threat and try to take that away from Cam Newton. And you saw Brown. What's the name of the kid? Brown.
Philly Brown?
Yeah. You saw how he played pretty well till he had that concussion and he was out the game. Mm-hmm. Ted Ginn Jr. was making plays. He was making plays. Also, he decided to give a play away. That interception that TJ Ward caught, Ted Ginn had it right in his hands. He dropped it. TJ Ward got the pick when they were about there, when they were driving to score a touchdown. But to me, again, I believe I'm with you. The Denver Broncos defense won this game, but Carolina played so sloppy. A lot of people talk about how sloppy the Super Bowl was played, but I don't think it was played. It wasn't sloppy on the part of the Denver Broncos. It was very sloppy on the part of the Carolina Panthers.
I can't even say sloppy. I think Denver's defense just forced a lot of turnovers. They were just that good. Wade Phillips was out of football last year. Some people in this town wanted him to be the defensive coordinator here.
Oh, definitely.
But I
was one of them.
Yeah. Jay Gruden wanted to go with a young, energetic guy and Joe Barry. See what that got you.
Joe Barry's a joke. Don't get me started on Joe Barry, man. Do not get me started on Joe Barry. This game, what I will say this about Cam Newton, his performance. In the first quarter, he was shaky. And he wasn't Killer Cam. It seems like the moment was too big, but he was too amped up.
You know what I thought they should have done the first play?
Mm-hmm.
They should have ran a design quarterback run.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree.
To calm his nerves. Once, you know, if you're Mike Shula and you're Ron Rivera and you see the nerves getting to a guy who's usually calm, cool, and collected, but, you know, when he makes a play is entertaining and electrifying, what you do is, you know, I'm not an NFL coach or anything like that or claim to be, but you get him some contact. Mm-hmm. You get those nerves out of him by getting him some contact, by making him feel comfortable. Let him, you know, run a lead power sweep with him out of the shotgun. You know, Cam Newton's a big physical guy. Once he got a hit, I'm pretty sure he would have calmed down.
I had an issue with the play calling by Coach Mike Shula in this game. I just thought they didn't run enough read option for Cam Newton. They were running lengths to be had. You saw how aggressive DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller were in this game. DeMarcus Ware had 2 sacks. Von Miller had 2.5. And 2 forced fumbles. And they were coming off the edge with so much. They were coming off the edge so hard. I looked at it like, all right, if you ran read option and you know, being an NFC East guy, you saw when the Redskins played the Cowboys, when DeMarcus Ware was playing for the Cowboys and RG3 in his heyday, his freaking year, they ran read option at him and he had so much trouble with it.
Yeah.
You know, and you didn't see enough of that in this game.
Well, I think a couple of times they ran read option, but the way they did it was they try to snuff out the quarterback where, you know, usually you see the end slant down hard and take away the running back. You saw the defensive end, whether it was Von Miller or DeMarcus Ware, just playing the quarterback and making him handle and forcing him to hand the ball off.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Denver Broncos. And we talked about their defense. Let's talk about their offense. Peyton Manning, obviously this is Peyton Manning's second ring. I mean, we're not going to get into his legacy. We'll talk about that later on. But how do you feel he played in the Super Bowl?
He played a very average, pedestrian game. I think we all know you didn't come out there and expect to see the Peyton Manning of old, the Peyton Manning that we saw the first year in Denver, the Peyton Manning that we saw during his time in Indianapolis. Some people thought he could catch lightning in a bottle and catch that magic and have one last magical performance. I don't know why you would think that. You know, everything suggested that we've seen from him this season has led us to believe that Peyton Manning was clearly on a decline, but he's able to make enough plays. And if you have a semblance of a running game, he can help you get a win.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Yeah. They, when you look at Peyton Manning, and this is why I'm happy for Peyton Manning, is that, you know, usually when Peyton Manning on any of his teams, he had to be the guy, right? He had to own the offense. He had to make the plays. He had to be the guy to make the big plays. But in this game, he had something totally different. He had a defense that he could play with. And this Peyton Manning is like Trent Dilfer. And that makes sense. Like, he's like Trent Dilfer when Trent Dilfer played quarterback.
Manager.
Exactly. When Trent Dilfer was the quarterback for that Super Bowl Baltimore Ravens team in 2000. And his job was just not to mess it up. You know, and he had an opportunity, and he didn't mess it up. He let his defense do his thing, and they ran the ball well.
I totally agree with you. You know what's funny to me is when you think about Peyton Manning, you know, you think about the 2 championships. But if you think about the two Super Bowls he won, it wasn't necessarily his performance that helped the teams win. The first Super Bowl he won when they beat the Bears, it was Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, Dominic Rhodes
and Joseph Addai were the guys who played above and beyond and had the best efforts offensively. Now you look at this Super Bowl where it was really none of the big-time play. Emmanuel Sanders had a pretty good game. But, you know, Demaryius Thomas was nowhere to be found.
That man looks so scared playing football now.
Yeah, C.J. Anderson had a pretty decent game.
Yeah, hit 90 yards rushing.
And then it was just a dominant defense. So, you know, that maybe that's letting Peyton know if he decides that he does want to come back for one more season, you got to go to a team that has the running game and has a dominant defense.
And looking at Peyton's stats, he went 13 for 23, threw for 141 yards. Two turnovers, one interception, one fumble. Peyton Manning, like Will T said, Peyton Manning didn't look special. And to be honest with you, he could have had more interceptions. Josh Norman dropped a couple. So it wasn't like Peyton Manning was extra sharp. But we get back. It's about time for commercial break. When we come back from commercial break, we'll talk about Cam Newton's press conference. It's got a lot of play. Is it overrated? Is it overblown? Do you think he was at fault? It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Things seems to help. I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times, without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
We'll be back.
Ron said Denver 2 years ago had a tough time. They bounced back. Did you take that to heart when he told you after the game?
No.
Can you put a finger on what why Carolina did not play the way it normally plays?
Got outplayed.
Is there a reason why?
Got outplayed, bro.
Was there anything Denver did defensively that, I mean, I know you've seen them, studied them, pretty much what you had seen on film. Was there anything different you think they put in for this game?
Nothing different.
Cam, do we sometimes, I mean, I know football players don't forget, but do we sometimes forget the defenses can still take apart any offense in this game?
Evan Mathis at podium 14.
No. He told us a lot of things.
Anything in particular that is memorable?
Nope.
Obviously, you're disappointed. You've won tremendous games before, and I know you've had some tough losses too. I mean, since it's on the biggest stage, it's difficult. I know.
Can you put into words the disappointment that you feel?
Did you see anything that you didn't expect today?
They just played better than us. I don't know what you want me to say. It's like, they made better, more plays than us, and that's what it come down to. I mean, we had our opportunities. It wasn't nothing special that they did. We dropped balls. We turned the ball over. Gave up sacks. Threw errant passes. That's it. They scored more points than them.
Can you put into words the disappointment you feel right now?
We lost. No.
Did you change anything defensively to take away your running lanes?
No.
I know you're disappointed, not just for yourself and your teammates, because you guys talked about how your band of brothers coming in. And it's got to be real tough for everybody in that locker room.
Throw the ball. Cam Newton might have left everyone hanging at the Super Bowl press conference, but the Urban Sports Scene, we are back for commercial break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally, Will, and Ray. Please feel free to keep the phone lines all open. Please feel free to give us a call at 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140.
All right, man. This is the big topic. Cam Newton, obviously, he's a lightning rod for controversy for some strange reason, good or bad, right? So we heard the press conference. We heard that he walked away. Did you see something wrong with it? Is this whole situation overblown?
I think you can make the case that it is overblown for the simple fact that Cam Newton is becoming the face of the NFL, right? He's mm-hmm. Mr. Madison Avenue. He's promoting Beats by Dre. He's promoting.
So was Cap at the time.
Huh?
So was Cap at the time.
Yeah, Cap was too. He's promoting Gatorade, a lot of other products. So to some people, you may be a role model to their kid. You may be a role model to some kid. So, in all fairness, you need to, when things are going good, you're dabbing, you're laughing, you know, you're having fun. So when things get tough, that shows the character or the mark of a man. When things get tough, how do you respond? And I understand, you know, you're a sore loser. I get it. Trust me, I get it. But still, you have a responsibility to sit up there and face the music. I'm not saying you have to be happy about it. But you still need to be up there. You know, when the media, when things are going good, you're chipper with the media. When things go bad, you just got to say, you know what? We lost. You could have gave him the same repetitive answer. You know what? We lost. Denver was better than us today. Hats off. Kudos to them. That's all.
But see, this is my thing. And all, you have a valid point. And actually, that's one of the things I think Cam can't totally get angry at. Because, you know, he dabbing, he's the same dude who was dabbing, the same dude that stated that, you know, if you have a problem with me scoring the end zone, stop me. You know, he was showing that bravado, right?
Right.
So you can't complain when folks come at you now, because you kind of were going at folks at that time, right? So, but this is my thing. Like, when you lose a game, and especially in that importance, and then you have to hear questions like, yo, like, how come you play bad? Like, or why'd you lose? Or, you know what I mean? How you feel right now? I know I would want to talk.
No, absolutely. No one wants to talk at that point. But at the same time, you have to be as gracious in defeat as you are with the victory. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying you have to be up there with a wide smile answering everybody's answers cheerfully. You know, you just simply tell them, look, Denver was better than us today. The better team won today, but we'll be back.
So let's, on the flip side, say Cam Newton walked away because he could have said something dumb. Like we've all seen Ryan Leaf kirk out at a reporter. Cause you know, your parents, you know, in situations growing up, and agree with it or not, you may have had a parent or a friend say, well, if you're going to do something hostile or volatile, just walk away from the situation. Right.
Now, but that's when you're young. You're an adult now. Mm-hmm. You're an adult. You have a responsibility. As you want to be the face of the league. Look, you got to take the good with the bad. You know what I mean? If not, if you can't take the good with the bad, keep it. Go through life like me. Keep an even keel.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay balanced. Don't get too up. Don't get too down.
Brother Cam, let this be known. Let that be me on the podium. I ain't talking to you. I'll walk away too. I give Cam credit. I wouldn't even walk to the podium. I would have stayed in the locker room. I would have been that dude.
Nah, man, that's a cowardly act. Right,
not a
there.
Cowardly. No, I don't want to. I don't want to hear reporters tell me why I lost. Especially
but
when you put so much into it.
But you didn't mind when they were singing your praise when you were winning.
That's on them.
Those 17 games.
That's on them. They were singing my praises. That's on them. They fed into it. I'm pissed. You know what I mean? I'm pissed. I'm not talking to you. I'm a state of myself. I hate the whole thing when you got to shake somebody's hand after you lose. Yeah, I'm a coach, and I said I'm a youth coach, and I said this. I hate that.
Well, depending on how the game was played, if you played the game dirty, then I'm not shaking your hand. But if you know, if you beat me fair and square, I gotta respect. I don't have to respect you. I'll show you your respect. You got the best of me that day.
Well, on our Facebook page, my man Jeff Spencer said, Cam Newton is a prima donna. This is about if the presser was overblown. He said, Cam Newton is a prima donna, but damn, he's good. So let it go. So I guess he's probably saying it's a little overblown. You know what I mean? He is a prima donna, though. I think we can agree to that.
Absolutely. He's a lightning rod. He brings the attention to himself. You know, some of it good, some of it bad.
My man Johnny Ford, he said, I find it odd that not one damn stronger media outlet hasn't called the NFL on the BS of having the two Super Bowl teams separated by a damn curtain at the end. That put the losing team in the position to where it's almost like you got your woman taken by another man, and now you got to sit in the same room and listen to him tell his friends how he let her, excuse me, how he took her from you. I would have put up and left too.
I mean, it's an excuse. Man.
I like that. I understand the analogy, but
once again, man, if you're going to be, you know, when things are going good, if you're going to be overly joyous, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. That's it. I understand that you hate losing. I don't think anyone likes losing. And, you know, we'll get into that later with his comments today. But you got to take the good with the bad, bro.
And also on Facebook, same question. My man Charlie said, if you're willing to take the praise and speak to the press when you win, the same thing Will's referring to, you damn sure better do the same when you lose. Stop being a child, and you are the league MVP. Grow up and act like it. I mean, I can see. That's like to your point, though, right, Will?
Absolutely. That's exactly to my point.
Yeah, I don't know about me. I feel like being a child is such a harsh term.
I'm not saying I didn't call him childish.
I'm just saying.
But I do feel as if when things are going good, you sit up, you know, you're smiling. And I understand when things go bad, we all tend to sulk and we get upset. But, you know, stand up there like a man, take your lumps, and move on.
And on Twitter, I'm going to read them out quickly. My man Brandon Rogers said, yes. It's overblown. My man Nick said, absolutely, it's overblown. My man Brian Mills said, yes, it's overblown. So I think most folks think it's overblown. It shouldn't got this much play. But Cam Newton, like Will T said, he did talk about this matter. He finally came out and talked. He don't have the audio of. He came out and talked about, talked about his fumble, why he didn't attempt the fumble to try to dive on it.
I don't understand why he did.
Did you hear his reasoning, though?
No. What did he say?
It makes no sense. He said my knee was in it. It made no sense. It really did.
He thought that he was going to injure himself?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
It's the last game of the season, man. It's the Super Bowl. You got to take that chance. If you're going to take a chance on your body, that's the game. But then he referenced, and you know I'm a Cam fan, he referenced how certain players, certain quarterbacks, when they throw picks, they don't try to tackle.
I mean, just because one person's wrong doesn't mean
Yeah, I didn't get that. But anyway, once I pulled it up, here are Cam's comments about why he left the presser early.
I've never once said that I was perfect. I never proclaimed that I was perfect. But at the end of the day, you know, people pick and they do things of that sort. And that the truth of the matter is, you know, who are you to say that your way is right? Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, we got all these people that's condemning and saying, oh man, he should have did this, that, and the third. But what makes your way right? I mean, I've been on record to say I'm a sore loser. Who likes to lose? You show me a good loser and I'm gonna show you a loser. You know what I'm saying? I'm not here to, it's not a popularity contest. You know what I'm saying? I'm here to win football games.
That is, you know what, I like that quote. I'm not gonna lie to you, and we're about to go to break soon, but I like that quote. Show me a sore loser. Show me a good loser, and I will show you a loser. That is a real quote, bro. Think about that, man. I think you shouldn't, like, a person who takes losing well, It's a loser to me. And if you think about it, too, it says if you get used to losing, you take it pretty well. Like, Michael Jordan was a horrible loser. People don't talk about it. It's not documented.
How do you know then if it's not documented?
Because, I mean, it's not documented in terms of like, well, you know what I mean, not documented. It's not, you know, that's a good response. That's a good one. Well, from what we've heard in the locker room, how, you know, he's not good or, you know, good with losing. So is Kobe Bryant. He's not good with losing. He is now, though, which is amazing to me. But, yeah.
Who, Kobe?
Yeah, he's a great loser now. But you know what I mean? Like, you have certain athletes who, you know, don't take losing well. And, you know, Michael Jordan, from what I've heard, you know what I mean? Don't know the man, from what I've heard, is that he isn't the greatest loser in the world. But I know, you know, people have the argument that he's won every championship game he's been in. So,
yeah,
it's hard to tell, right?
Yeah.
He's lost in the postseason before, though, right?
He's lost in the postseason, exactly. Yes. But so, he used that fush, but he always came out and addressed the media and did what he was supposed to do.
So, I mean,
he might have taken it out in the locker room on his teammates, but, you know, within the public eye, because either A, you know, his branding, or B, he really believed that he's a role model for young children. He upheld his responsibility, which was to go out there and talk to the media.
Yeah, but, you know, Cam is still young. He'll grow. I mean, he's still young. How old is Cam? Like 25?
Yeah, I tell people all the time. Look, well, no, I'm not going to say all the time, but I was talking to someone earlier today, and he was talking about this incident, and I told him, Cam Newton hasn't – if you look at when Cam Newton came into the league and Carolina was losing a bunch of games, he was sulking. He was easily irritated over losing, right? Uh-huh. The only thing that's changed is they won 15 games this year, so you didn't get to see him sulk and be sour uh-huh. after a loss. They only lost – prior to this game, they only lost one game this year. So we didn't get a chance to see that, but it's not like he hasn't exhibited this behavior before. So will people get in such a hoopla of getting an uproar over it? I really don't see it. The only difference, what people are failing to put in perspective, is they won 15 games this year. They lost one game. So you didn't get a chance to see him act like that. He's always been a terrible, a sore loser.
You listen to Urban Sports Scene with Wally and Will. This is the thing I respect about Cam Newton. At least he owned it. He's a sore loser. I love that he owned it. People don't own it. They don't own that. They don't own their flaws in life. This man owned being a sore loser.
Yeah.
You can't tell him nothing. And what I like about him is that he stated it. You know what? I'm gonna still be this person. He's owning who he is. I'm not going to change for anybody. What got me here is the way I'm acting. And this is the thing which I still think he needs to chill out on a little bit. He's saying that. When he was talking about, judging. Well, no, actually, I do agree with. Who's to say what one man thinks and says is the right way? Who's to say that it's his right way? You know what I mean? Like, one man can say this is how you're supposed to do it, but Cam doesn't go by that. But he doesn't go by that philosophy. He goes on about what is best for Cam, not what's best for the next man viewing Cam.
I totally agree. I'm a firm believer of, I don't care what everyone thinks. Mm-hmm. I only care what a select few people think, the mm-hmm. people that I hold near and dear to my heart. Everyone else I could give to, you know what,
yeah.
about what their opinion. But, you know, there's validity to what he said. But also, you know, I think what people are failing to put into perspective is Cam Newton has been the same way since he came into the league.
Consistent.
When it comes to losing, he's been consistent. The only variable is, they won 15 games and lost one this year, so we didn't get a chance to see him act like that a lot.
That's true. Anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about Peyton Manning's legacy since he's won his second Super Bowl championship. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
That's a first-rate queso dip.
Haven't been this lost in years.
Recalculating shortest route.
Do I really look like this?
And put it on top?
Never seen this one before.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
I like it.
I seen your girl post a bill, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashad Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Go
It go down in the dim. Thanks for Rashad Ross for that bite, man. I appreciate that he gave us that urban sports scene bite, man. That's much appreciated by Washington Redskins wide receiver Rashad Ross. Made some big plays for the Redskins during the season. So big ups to him again. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will, Ray, who's not in the building, but me, Will T, and I are holding it down. And also, feel free to call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. And also, make sure you check out the Garbage Time podcast. Check out Football Garbage Time podcast. My homies, Hongkun Wong and Ryan Whitfield, they do a great job with their show. We usually battle them with picks, and the website is www.footballgarbagetime.com. Again, make sure you check them out. Funny guys, insightful podcast show. So again, check them out. All right, man. Peyton Manning's legacy. What's his legacy since if he retires? He has two championships. We're talking about a guy who has almost all the records in the books, regular season wise. Now he has five MVPs, one Super Bowl MVP, two Super Bowl titles. So how do you define his legacy?
No matter what people say, Peyton Manning is going to go down as one of the top three quarterbacks of all time. You know, you can put Tom Brady up there because he has four Super Bowl titles.
Yeah, four.
Joe Montana has four Super Bowl titles. You know,
four or five. Joe got four or five.
Who?
Joe has four.
Joe has four.
Four. Okay.
People are going to make the argument, well, Peyton choked in the big game. Peyton's 2-2 in the Super Bowl. And if you look at his record head-to-head in the playoffs against Brady, it's a better record. Peyton Manning is going to leave the game with just about every passing record there is, every prolific passing record there is. He's easily, to me, in my opinion, top two, top three quarterbacks of all time. If he does decide, well, I'll get into that a little bit later.
If he does, yeah, I'm with you. If he does decide to retire, which this is all premise, if he does decide to retire, what would his legacy be? But let's look at some Peyton Manning stats right now. He's 14-13 in the postseason. All right. 2-2 in Super Bowl. His five MVPs. One Super Bowl MVP. Number one in career passing yards. He's with 71,940. He's number one in passing touchdowns in 539. Seven-time All-Pro first-team selection, and fourth within completion percentage in the history of the NFL total in his career. The man is a passing god. It is what it is. You can say whatever you want to say. People forget. I'm going to say this again. Tom Brady, his first two championships, was more of a manager. He was more of a manager. He's got two more championships after that, all right? Peyton Manning had to be the alpha dog for all of his championship runs, all right? Other than what he had to deal with, this one. And we all know that Colts team got hot that season in the postseason when they beat the Bears in the Super Bowl. Yeah. But it wasn't a stout defense anyway. You know what I mean? It wasn't a defense that was going to shut you down. It had a fierce pass rush, but it wasn't going to shut you down. Peyton Manning always had to put up numbers, other than, again, this season, this year's Super Bowl. This man, to me, how I view him, just like, you know, because I don't always go off championships, because football is a team sport, and Peyton Manning had to carry a lot of the load. So when I look at Peyton Manning, it's almost how I compare Dan Marino. Those are the two best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my lifetime at the position. If you take Peyton Manning and put him on those Patriot teams, he's getting a bunch of rings. I'm talking, right? Would you agree with
totally,
me?
I totally agree.
Okay. You put Dan Marino on a Patriots team, he's getting rings, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, when I look, and you put Dan, sorry, let me put it this way. You put Dan Marino on Joe Montana San Fran teams, I'm thinking he's getting rings. I'm not saying he's going to get as much as Joe Montana, but he's getting rings. All right. So when I look at Peyton Manning, to me, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. I can put it out there. Me, with my eyes, I've ever seen.
That's a pretty fair. It's your opinion. That's a pretty mm-hmm. fair assessment. If I had, you know, guys that I've seen play,
mm-hmm.
it would be probably Brady, Manning, Favre.
Mm-hmm.
Those three.
Favre, yeah, I'm not the biggest. I don't know. I'm not the biggest Brett Favre fan.
Those are probably the three best quarterbacks that I've seen play the game since I've been watching football.
It would, if it was my, if I choose a three, it would be Marino, Manning, Elway, Montana, and Brady. Those would be my best. My guys, the best I've seen.
And this three, is three. If you had to pick
three out of those three, it would be Marino. Marino, Manning, and Montana. It wouldn't even be Marino. And I will say this about Montana, and I wasn't the biggest San Fran fan because my dad's annoying me. He used to be a Niners fan. I've never seen a quarterback other than Dan Marino. Like Joe Montana, his receivers didn't have to work. What I mean by that is that every pass to me seemed like it was on the money.
It was always on stride. Like he always led them.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? He led them to the right spot in the to an open spot in the defense and threw the pass with not too much velocity, but it was just enough air up under.
Yeah, so it was just everything was perfect. It annoyed the bejesus out of me, but everything was perfect. So those are the three best quarterbacks I've ever seen. The reason why I think Peyton Manning into his legacy, which I love about Peyton Manning, is his control of an offense. You know what I mean? I've never seen a guy with that much control of an offense. Dan Marino, I kind of remember him doing some similar things, and that was really what impressed me about Dan Marino. But Peyton Manning, so much control, how he makes his O-line better. You know what I mean? Like how he shifts protections. He makes – like Denver Broncos' O-line wasn't stout when wasn't deemed stout when he got there initially. But all of a sudden, that O-line looked good when Peyton Manning under the helm. You know what I mean? Because he knows blitz. He knows blitz pickups. He knows how to, like, okay, the mic's coming, the mic's hot, whatever. He knows all of that. I don't even know football terminology like that, but I played it off like I did. But
you did. I would think you.
You think I knew about it. But he's smart enough in that. You know what I mean? So, and he made everything about that offense, he made better. You know what I mean? So that's how I look at Peyton Manning. And he's a guy who elevated the play of his wide receivers. Look at Demaryius Thomas. We're talking about now a 1,300 wide receiver. But when he was, you know, younger with Tebow or whoever, he was just a guy who can here and there make a big play.
Absolutely. You look at a guy like Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders was in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't putting up the numbers that he put up in Pittsburgh that he's putting up now in Denver.
So when you look, I mean, Peyton Manning to me, he's one of the best I've ever seen. I stated that. So, all right. So, do you think he will retire? Let's put that question out there.
I think after he takes a long, hard consideration, he'll probably retire. It's probably best for him with
he needs to retire.
The potential investigation going down. You know, Roger Goodell could tell him, look, you retire, this goes away.
For real. You believe in that thing?
Yeah, but look, man, it's too much smoke for it to not be something.
No,
in my opinion,
I'm gonna argue with you. I'm almost aside with you.
It's too much smoke for it to not be anything.
Man, we're pushing up on another break, man. It's about time for another commercial break. Peyton Manning, just retire. Your arm is weak. When we get back from break, we'll be talking boxing. My man Will T, Khan, Canelo. You gonna be in Vegas, Ice Willie T, for this one?
No.
Dang, I'm not going to either. But it seems like a good groupie meeting. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the firemen, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Don't say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band about that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls
girl sent you hallelujah. Girl sent you hallelujah.
You're on right now.
No, you're on.
They heard you. The folks heard you. The people heard you.
No, I can't do that.
You like the Super Bowl show with Bruno Mars?
I loved it. Bruno Mars and Beyonce killed it. Coldplay was cool too. It's kind of a opening act for those two, but I think the most entertaining part was clearly Beyonce and Bruno Mars, two people who previously performed in the Super Bowl. So,
and I liked it too. Actually, some people, folks that didn't like it, but I enjoyed it, to be honest with you. I was like, you know, I like looking at Beyonce every once in a while. You know, I don't like her anymore like I used to, but every, you know, I go back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at her, you're like, wow. Then you're like, oh, you were Jay-Z. But then you're like, wow again. So, yeah. Good job, Beyonce. I love you. And then I don't love you anymore. It's like a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, now it's like, that's why I had to jump on Alicia
More
Keys.
Like an infatuation.
Yeah, it's an infatuation.
That's not healthy. What.
It's really, well, it's healthy for me. I need to look at people like her.
Okay.
She's gorgeous, man.
She is. She's a beautiful woman.
She is, man. And people hate, too. They talk about how, you know, her makeup and whatnot. They say she don't look as good as, you know, without her makeup. You know what I mean? Without her makeup, she's, like, not as attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in that. She looks pretty. She's beautiful in every which way. Just get away from Jay-Z. That's all I'm saying. Get away from him. He's not good for you. Yeah, I said it, Will T. Anyway, listen to the Urban Sports Team with myself, Wally, and my homeboy, Will T. A phone line. You can call in, too, to join this great discussion about Beyonce. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Amir Khan. Canelo Alvarez.
It's a big event for
big
boxing.
Fight. Big event.
May 7th.
You know it.
MGM, the new MGM stadium in Las Vegas. A lot of people, I don't think anyone saw this fight coming.
No.
Amir Khan gets what he wants, which is a high-profile fight and a big payday against a major headlining opponent, Canelo Alvarez. Canelo is clearly that guy now in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
He's the cash king. He's the cash cow. And they'll be fighting at, I believe, a 155-pound
fight limit. So is that 155? Limit. It has it's 155.
155-pound fight limit.
Ooh,
so weight.
So it's going up. He's going up for Canelo.
Amir Khan's going up. Go ahead.
No, this is all I wanted to say, because I don't remember. We used to talk about this before about Amir Khan, because a lot of people are like, why is he going up to fight Canelo? He's going to get murdered. But I think you told me that you think that he could put on the weight and it can fit him.
I think he can. He has pretty broad shoulders, so he can gain the weight, and I think he'll be all right. The speed wise, with his hand speed and his lateral foot movement. But Canelo's going to probably come in the ring fight night at rehydrated at 170. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
The one knock on Amir Khan has consistently been his, for lack of a better word, glass jaw.
Yeah.
Against Brandon Prescott, he knocked him out. Danny Garcia knocked him out. He lost a split decision to Lamont Peterson. It's shown that, you know, he beat Marcos Maidana, but it's shown that when he's in there with A-class competition, they sometimes get the best of him. So it'll be an interesting fight. I'm interested to see, you know, how it goes down. I want to know. I'm pretty sure Amir Khan will try to imitate Floyd Mayweather's strategy for beating Canelo Alvarez, but it's just that I don't think that a win that would be good for Amir Khan, because he doesn't have the timing and the execution that Floyd Mayweather has. Although he does, at this point, he has, I think, slightly better hand speed and foot speed than Floyd Mayweather, but Floyd had execution and timing at his disposal against Canelo.
So what would you tell the people out there that are like, why are you taking this fight? Like, why are you taking this fight? There's no way that Amir Khan can beat Canelo. Cause I'm on the side of saying, like, Amir Khan is smart. He knows this is his only opportunity, his prime opportunity to finally fight a mega star.
Why would he take it? For the simple fact, for the reasons that you stated. He wants a big fight. He wants a major payday. You know, I've had discussions with a lot of people and they think that Amir Khan just wants to cash out of the game. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's – Me either. I wouldn't cast that aspersion upon him. I don't know what's in his heart. But I know that he wants a major fight. He feels that he's one of those guys, the top tier of boxing. He wants to prove it. To me, I say if you wanted to prove it, you should have fought Danny Garcia in June.
Yeah.
For as the I believe the WBA ordered for the welterweight championship. But that clearly that fight isn't going to happen because he's fighting Canelo Alvarez May 7th.
And I look at this fight as for Khan is a low risk, high reward type of fight for him, because if he loses, everybody expects him to lose. Right.
Not only that, everyone expects him to lose, but then he also has the added excuse that I had to go up
exactly
8 pounds to reach the 155 pound limit to fight, you know, to fight Canelo. And I lost a little bit of speed, but I'll drop back down to 147, and that's when I'll further dominate, further take my career to another heights.
Yeah, and it's so if he wins the fight though, then he's back to what people thought he was going to be, and that's that mega star in the United States, because we know he's big overseas. Now he can bring that to the United States, which I think he really wants. He wants to be the big draw in the U.S.
I think he just wants to be the big draw in boxing, period.
Gotcha.
You know, no matter whether it's in the U.K. or in the U.S., he wants to be a major draw in boxing. He wants to be thought of as a cash cow and one of the guys that's going to help take the sport, move the sport forward. But the reality is, because of his inactivity, you know, because he's been chasing Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, this may not have been the best fight for him to just jump back into it with having almost been off a year.
And we're going to talk about this fight when it's close to fight time. We're going to break this down. We got the best boxing analyst in the business. And my man Ice Willie T. Hey, I give you the credit. You just take it in stride, all right, bro? Take the credit in stride, all right? It's about time for a break. When we get back from break, we'll be talking about Derek Fisher getting fired by the New York Knicks. Head coach Derek Fisher being fired by the New York Knicks. And I know, for real, that my man, Matty Barnes, is somewhere laughing. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I try and make it next month. I'm sitting up there. Fucking shredded shit up.
How much money is that?
Yellow beat. Holla at me.
And chewy on some hot. Like I talk to Shicey when I sh. Like you seen him twirl, then he drops it. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you could catch. Running through these checks till I pass out. And shorty give me neck till I pass out. I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up, get up on my trap house. I've been selling since like the fifth grade. Really never made no difference with the shit I made. That told me flip them packs and how to maintain. Get that money back and spend it on the same thing. Shorty like the way that I ball out. I be getting money till I fall out. You talking cash, dog, I goes all out. Shorty love the way that I flow out. Free greasy them, let all of my dogs out. Mama said no cats inside my dog.
Yeah, that's what got Bobby my Smart, that's my dude. I would do the dance, but I have time for it. But you listen to the Urban Sports Scene with my boy Will T and myself, Wally. And again, my boy Ray Jeezy's not in the building, but he'll be back next week. So we'll have our three-man weave back in the building. But anyway, like I mentioned before break, Derek Fisher, now ex-New York Knicks head coach, was canned. And well, they were 23-31. They were improved, though. To me, it seemed like he improved as a head coach.
I mean, this team improved. Phil Jackson, Steve Mills, they went out during the offseason, and, you know, they didn't make the big splashy acquisition that a lot of people expected them to make, but they drafted Porzingis. They brought in Robin Lopez, who's a pretty good defensive mm-hmm. center. You got Aaron Afalo, and then Derek Williams coming off the bench has been a surprise. No one really expected him to give, even though the production hasn't been consistent, but he's been playing at a fairly high level.
Yeah, I've always liked him. I've always been a fan of Derek Williams. Thought he could be something. And the NBA is so funny how young players are treated anyway. Once they're deemed a certain way, they don't get the clock that they deserve. And the clock that can give them the numbers that, you know, people can project them and say, okay, well, he wasn't a bust or this, that, and the other. But back to coaching. So do you feel that he was wrongly fired, or do you feel like because you're a Knicks fan?
Yeah.
Being a Knicks fan, do you feel like
I'm not mad?
Yeah, you're not mad.
I'm not mad at the fire. I'm not in an uproar like, why the hell did we get rid of Derek Fisher? Gotcha. You know, I understand that it's a business and you want to see progression. Maybe Phil knows something that we don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe Phil knows that Derek Fisher lost the respect of the locker room, doesn't feel that he had his heart into it, and he wasn't pushing these guys and to helping them reach their potential. I will say that a season and a half for a rookie coach, for a coach who had no previous coaching experience, is a bit quick. But me personally, I trust Phil Jackson as the GM and the president of the New York Knicks, and I know that Phil eventually we'll get this thing right and bring a ring to New York.
You trust Phil Jackson as an executive?
Absolutely.
What makes you trust Phil Jackson?
Well, he's the architect of 6 championships.
As
an executive, he knows how to push the right buttons. He knows what he's looking for in a coach. Now, do I think that Kurt Rambis is the answer? Hell no. But he knew that Derek Fisher isn't the answer. So he decided to make a change. I trust that he's going to make the right change. He made the right decision in drafting Kristaps Porzingis when a lot of people, including myself, wanted Emmanuel Mudiay.
He's a good player. But yeah,
he's a good player.
Porzingis has been really good, though.
Mm-hmm. Porzingis has been better than expected.
Better fit, too. Better fit for this team.
He made the free agent pickups that a lot of people didn't think were popular, mm-hmm. rather than signing one guy, a splashy player, he spread the money out and helping to build a team. Mm-hmm. So I learned to trust Phil as an executive because he's pushing the right buttons and he's making the right decisions so far.
All right, so Derek Fisher's gone. You think that the situation with Matt Barnes, because, you know, he slept with the homie's wife, or ex-wife, whatever you want to call it, he slept with the homie's girl. And it was an embarrassment to the Knicks organization just to address this, that a coach.
Well, Phil Jackson, he said that didn't play into it.
Yeah.
That's a lie. Maybe. That's a lie. You think it played into it?
Yeah, it played a part. It's bad press. It's New York.
I mean, it's not bad good. Press, but maybe that was – I'm not going to say that specific incident is what – killed it for Derek Fisher. Maybe that specific incident started a downward spiral for him in the eyes of Knicks ownership and the Knicks executives.
We have a call. You on with the Urban Sports Team?
Hey, man, you know why I'm here.
What's going on, AJ, man? Hey, so real quick, we're talking about Derek Fisher right now. Derek Fisher being fired by New York Knicks. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, hey, fellas, man, what's up? Long time listener, long time friend of the show, as y'all know. Just wanted to shout you guys out, man. You know, we go back at least, what, going on 4 years, 5 years?
5 years, hey, I was on your show. Yeah, this is awesome, man. It's always a blessing to have you to call in the show, man, because you always support. We always have battles on Twitter, man. Too.
We go back like Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes. Why does it seem like now?
Do you think that situation played a part with him being fired?
I think it's an overall compound thing, and this is not to say that, well, these are effects, but, you know, in cases like that where you're dealing with a corporation, the team's losing, and then you have outside distractions going on with it. I think it just gets to the point, and, you know, Fisher was, he's a Phil Jackson guy. You know, they go back to talking about with the Shaq and Kobe days, so.
Yeah.
I think you get a number of things that compound on top of the team losing. I think I've seen a stat. What are they? 0-7 without Melo this season.
Mm.
So the team's not responding to the coach. The coach is, you know, getting into his reality show nonsense, and it's not a good look all the way around.
So who would you? What do you think's the best? Who do you think would be the best coach to replace Derek Fisher?
honestly, this is might sound like a stretch. I'm trying to think of his name. He actually, he's an assistant coach for the Clippers. He actually used to coach the Knicks a couple years ago.
Woodson?
Mike Woodson?
He got Woodson, exactly. He got shafted out of the job. And he took that, I'm not going to say the same team, but he took that Knicks team that had a bunch, basically a bunch of knuckleheads on the team. He took them to the playoffs.
No, I mean, he
it's going to be, and I think between him and Lionel Hollins.
I think you're totally off base with that, but you're entitled to your opinion. I think that it's either, I don't think, a lot of people are saying Tom Thibodeau. I don't think that's going to be the hire. I think Luke Walton will probably be the hire for Phil Jackson, because Phil Jackson knows that this team, although they're able to compete for a playoff spot, particularly at the seventh or eighth spot, he'll probably try to find a younger coach who he can help develop, who can grow with this team, because this team still has a lot of needs, and I think Phil will try to address those needs during free agency or via trades and get another young coach in there.
Well, AJ, real quick. So since I know you're a Laker fan too as well, and you know Luke Walton, how do you feel about Luke Walton being the coach for the Knicks, being a Laker
fan? I think it's a good look for the Knicks. I don't know if it's a good look for Luke Walton.
I agree. I don't think the same thing.
and I'm just saying, and while you know, I'm here in LA right now. I live in LA. So I would, like, if Byron Scott would eventually get his contract canceled, I'm pretty sure they want him back here. But he's in a pretty good situation where he already showed he can get the ear of the team, even though he was playing with he was coaching a great team.
True, yeah.
It would be a great look for the Knicks, especially seeing he completely understands the triangle. He understands some of this, hybrid space and pace offense as well. But, I don't know how good, unless they're just going to pay him out the yin yang, but it's a great look for the Knicks, but I don't know how good for Luke Walton. And they have like I say, you still got Melo's big contract. Porzingis looks okay. He looks pretty good, but other than that, you have a follow, but other than that, I don't think it's really too much to work with over there.
Yeah. But AJ, man, thanks for the call, my man. We gonna get up. We gonna bash each other on Twitter, all right? We need to.
Hey, man. You guys take it easy out there.
All right, man. Thanks for calling
AJ,
in.
Man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. That's my man, AJ, man. He was on Voice of the Fan. A show that was actually similar to our build and our show. Cool people. We actually did that live show with him.
Oh, okay.
That live show, yeah. So yeah, AJ's cool folks, man. Real cool folks. But yeah, Derek Fisher. I like that in terms of the replacement for Derek Fisher. I like Luke Walton. I do like that one. Because like what AJ mentioned, how you mentioned one, the triangle, and secondly how he's had the pace and space offense with Golden State, so he can have that mixture of the triangle and a new breed of the NBA in terms of winning basketball. Cause I feel like that's winning basketball. And also, you know, people don't talk about it. Mark Jackson, he played for the New York Knicks. Point guard.
I don't think that personality would mesh with Phil Jackson. Because if you come in, well, I don't know how hands off Phil is willing to be when it comes to the philosophy as far as the strategy for the team. You know, will Phil allow a coach that doesn't run the triangle to come in and be the coach? If not, if he does, then a lot of people will call him for Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau, he's shown it in Chicago, has done some pretty good things when he hasn't had a star player. But the problem you get with him is rotations, and he's a grinder. So, you know, he's going to put a lot of stress on the bodies of, you know, his star players. Do you want that? Do you want that with a guy like Porzingis, who's 7'3" and who's still relatively young and still growing into his body?
This is my thing about the triangle, the whole triangle coach. Kurt Rambis ran the triangle. He coached in Minnesota and the Lakers. The Lakers was 24. The Lakers was, you know, 24-13 with the Lakers. And they didn't really, I don't think they weren't running the triangle back then. Kurt Rambis was the replacement coach for the LA Lakers. In Minnesota, he ran a triangle and was like 32 and 132.
Yeah. Not everyone can push the right buttons in a triangle.
Shaw.
Yeah, like
Brian Shaw
Phil.
Was good.
Yeah, no one can run a triangle like Phil.
Yeah. So
good. No, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. Like, so it's the people underfield tend to struggle. That's my thing.
They tend to struggle with running his system. Now, what they need to do is they need to run. You can use his system as a base, but you need to be able to incorporate other offensive philosophies.
Totally agree. But anyway, it's time for us to wrap this show up. It's been a great show.
Always a pleasure always. To come and do the show with you, my man.
And right back at you. Always a pleasure having you on the show, too, as well. It's always a pleasure having everybody on the show. It's like it's one big family, man. It's like one big happy family. I really mean that. But it's always a pleasure to give you all the sports news the way we know how to do it, because we have fun doing the way we know how to do it. And to be honest with you, we feel like we're giving you the real.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So anyway, man, it's the Urban. You listen to Urban Sports. It's the Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
All right, Mega. As always, bruh, lead us out, homie.